Welcome to Simply Us, a podcast by Robin Victoria Tiedemann,
where we talk about life, marriage, minimalism, and everything fun. Welcome to episode 9 for Simply Us.
Is this 9?
It is 9.
Or is this 10?
This is 9.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was 8 last time.
You really sure?
I'm really sure.
Now I want to check just to make sure.
You don't trust me.
No. Okay, it's 9. I just want to make sure.
I'm keeping track.
Okay, good. So, we want to start this episode off by saying hello, and that we got some feedback from our last episode about summer movies and music.
We've been getting comments on our website lately, which has been wonderful to receive. And based off of what we said first off, I messed up on an album name.
Yep. Yeah, the Andy Mineo album was Heroes for Sale, not Horses for Sale.
But that's because I think they did a typo since it was done with their phone to tell me what their response was.
Mm-hmm.
So it made it Horses, but it's not.
So I just wanted to make that correction because we don't want to look like we're ignorant.
Yeah. We listened to all the albums that were suggested to us.
Mm-hmm. Save one. There's one we have to listen to.
Well, no, from the ones that we mentioned.
Oh, yes.
We did listen to them all.
Yes.
I don't really know if we were that into them. Probably not.
Probably not,
but
really.
But we tried.
No offense.
We tried.
Yeah, exactly. We always like, whenever somebody gives us a music recommendation, we always like giving it a try at least once.
However, in the comments that we received for this episode on our website, there was someone, Rebecca Christopher, who suggested several albums for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And from those albums, we listened to all but one because we listened to them a few times. We liked them a lot.
Yeah. The two that she recommended that we have listened to so far is Little Joy, self-titled album. Really, really good. Very, very summery.
I really like
lots of ukulele. And it's got a very The Strokes feel. And apparently it was produced or co-written by a member of The Strokes. So it definitely makes sense. The singer actually sounds like it's the singer from The Strokes, but I didn't research if that's actually who it is or not.
Oh, okay.
But that one's a lot of fun. And then also there was Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix by Phoenix, which is their French, I guess I would call them like a pop group.
Yeah.
But they reminded me of New Cassettes and Pinback.
They sounded so much like Pinback, which we had mentioned in the last episode. That that was pretty weird because I was like, what is this, a new Pinback album?
Yeah.
But then I was like, no, it's not Pinback because you could hear the differences. Mm-hmm. And that was just odd. And she also suggested The Wild Reeds, which we had already suggested at some point previously.
Yep.
And the last album we still have to listen to, so we'll get back on that.
We will. And I'm sure we'll listen to it. And so far, we're 2 for 2, so I'm pretty sure we'll end up enjoying that one as well.
So thanks for the great recommendations, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. And as far as getting on to new information, new topics, new discussions, whatever, we actually have some special guests with us today. So if you would like to introduce yourself, go right ahead.
I'm Micah, 8 years old, and I don't know what to say now.
Tell us something about you. What's your favorite thing to watch on Netflix, maybe?
Well, it was another Lego show, but...
Was another Lego show, but what? But it's gone now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But now it's Lego Ninjago.
Lego Ninjago. And the movie's coming out soon, right? So you're excited about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Want to go see that. And the other special guest...
Hi, I'm Lado. I'm 10 years old, and their older son...
And what's also, something about you? Yeah, what's...
I really, really like to camp out. We just came back from Knoebels.
Yeah, we'll hold on. We'll tell them about that.
My favorite show is Sailor Moon, the original series.
Yep, he just started watching it, I think, 2 weeks ago. And he's been pretty hooked since. So that's kind of cool. Mama loves it. She's excited.
I'm already on episode 15. So.
Yeah, out of 200. So you have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Plus the movies.
I'm going to watch them all.
Yeah, okay. You are. Gotta watch them all.
Good one.
Yeah.
They really like Pokemon, too.
Yes. So that's why I did that little homage to that one.
Homage.
So as Leo already started alluding to, we spent the last couple days doing some camping, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what did you guys think?
What state were we in?
Pennsylvania.
And so what did you think, Micah, about the camping trip?
It was really exciting.
Yeah, it was exciting. What part was the most exciting?
Probably when I slept, because it's very comfy in the tent.
When you slept.
So you found it very comfy in the tent. That's great. A lot of people wouldn't say that. Tents are comfy. I like that.
It was also your first time camping out. So to be on...
Well, memorable.
Well, exactly. Right. Because we actually took them to Knoebels...
When they were one and three.
A while ago, yeah. So about 7 years ago. And they don't remember. Micah was all tiny. I don't even... Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you
were walking. Wee little man.
Yeah, wee little man.
Like...
Yes, you were.
Like Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was here.
Yeah. So, Leda, what was your favorite part about being at Knoebels?
Going on the Flying Terns roller coaster.
Oh, yeah, that was your favorite,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So we need to explain real quick that Knoebels is an amusement park attached to a campground.
Mm-hmm.
So we slept there two nights. Well, we got there late one night. So yeah.
Well, we slept there two nights.
Right, and they had 2 days that they got to go on amusement rides as well.
And it's all the neat thing about Knoebels is that unlike Six Flags or some of those other amusement parks is that it's more geared towards... children and families.
Yeah.
So there aren't as many crazy rides as there are at other amusement parks.
There's more kid rides than anything.
Yeah.
But this is really loud.
Yes.
Yes.
They have
it's
one...
a giant wooden roller coaster. And when you get in the campgrounds, you can hear it from anywhere. From the Arizona campground.
Where we were.
And especially in the North Carolina campground. Because... that's the closest one to the Twister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty noisy.
Yeah. I don't remember how old it is, but it's a very large, older wooden coaster.
Well, the flying... What's it called?
Flying Terns.
Flying Terns that Leto and I went on.
Mm-hmm.
That one was built in... right after World War One.
Yeah, I remember you said the 20s or 30s. I don't
early
remember exactly.
Early 20s, like 21.
That's really old.
Yeah.
And the idea was the guy that created it, he was a pilot... in the Air Force, I believe, and he wanted to make a ride that felt like flying.
Yeah.
And so it actually releases from the track.
It's trackless.
Yeah. Well, it's on a track for a little bit, and then it releases, and you just go, and it takes turns and everything. Well, not turns, but like it...
But it has very banked turns.
Right.
So the idea is
instead of having
a track...
And then it goes right back on the track again.
But the track, I think, is really only for the ascent
to the top
of the hill, and then as soon as you crest the hill, then it's trackless.
Yeah,
so you're going through those bank turns.
They have a weight limit and everything that they actually will put you on a thing that they can determine your weight. No one sees your weight but the person operating that.
So we saw videos of it before we went.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure we put those in the description and stuff. And
yeah, really.
Yeah, they liked it a lot. I was impressed. I thought Leto might be a little bit nervous about it. I don't know. Were you nervous when you first got there, when you were in line?
No.
Yeah,
you weren't nervous?
Okay, I was.
He was like, are you getting that tingling feeling inside?
Tingly. I said tingly.
Tingly. Okay. I'm sorry.
Not tingling.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is the wait for that line was about half an hour or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they needed two people, so they kept asking... we need two people. Are there any that are two people?
And we were the only ones.
I guess they were all groups of four, three, or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so
and we were the only ones.
So we got to skip about 15 minutes ahead.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we got to go right up.
Yeah, you guys went almost right away.
Almost entirely ahead the line. So
we cut through, and there were a bunch of people were saying like, oh, you won the lottery.
Yeah.
And some guy said... you owe me $1 for going ahead of me. I was like, what?
No.
So, but while they were on that ride, we went and did some stuff for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So remember all of what you did?
Well, the first one we went was the ball pit.
Yeah, because you wanted to do that, like, right when we got there.
Yeah.
You saw that Wednesday night when we got there. You wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And what else did you do?
Let's see. I went on, like, a little carousel thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It had, like, animals... couple cars, and I went on a little brown bear.
A brown bear? What do you mean? What's that look like?
It was a bear.
Standing bear?
No.
No, it's like a little
you'll see it.
Metal
I have
bear.
Video of that. That'll be on the YouTube channel at some point. I think I took video of that.
Oh.
Do you remember?
You took a video.
I was shooting it, right, when you were on there?
Yeah, okay. Go on that, actually.
No. So, but then, right, you tried to do one, and you were too big for it.
Yeah, it was like a little pedal car where you, like, push your arms.
You weren't allowed to do it?
Yeah, it was a hand crank. Yeah, he was too big.
Tall. Oh, that, I saw that ride. It looked fun.
Yeah. I was, when we went over there, I was like, Micah, can you believe you are too big for a ride?
Yeah, because he's tiny.
Yeah.
So, and then
there was... for my age.
Yeah. Well, you are, but you're big, though, too. You were big enough that you couldn't do that ride. But then you did one other ride, right? Remember what that one was?
Yes.
I know you remember that one.
That was my favorite ride.
Yeah. Which one?
There's like a little rocket thing that I went on. It was basically like the Rotojet, which Leto went on, but it was a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It only goes up to like about like 5 feet up.
No, it was a little higher than that. It was maybe 8 to 10 feet in the air.
Yeah.
But the point is you didn't control it, right? It just went up on its own.
Yeah, and it didn't go high at all.
No.
Did it go up and down?
No, it just went around. It just went up, then it just stayed up for a while, and it did spin around. And there was, like, a little gun thing, and I pressed the little button, and it made an
Yeah, it made, like, a buzzing sound. It's supposed to be, like,
so
a...
So you got to be annoying.
Not only that, but all of the rockets had that, so it was like... It actually, now that I think about it, it sounded a lot like the aliens from Mars Attacks.
Oh, boy.
It sounded a lot like that. So, yeah, he said that was his favorite.
Right.
So it was funny, though, because we went over, because Micah wanted to do a couple rides that he could go on, because, you know, Leto's big enough that he could go on almost every ride.
Well, you thought we were going to be there for half an hour.
We also expected a half an hour wait, so Micah and I went off to the other side, because it was almost the other side of the park where these kiddie rides where Micah was on. So we went over there, and then it was getting close, like I figured they would still have another 5 to 10 minutes before they got off the ride, but we decided to go walking back anyway. Even though Micah wanted to do a couple more, but we didn't. And as we're walking back, all of a sudden I look up and I see Mama running at us, remember? Did you see that?
Yep.
You're like, oh, Mama's coming. And I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And then Leto was right behind her. And then they said, it was awesome. And Leto was talking about how much he liked it, so.
Yeah. That flying turns ride, best ride of the whole thing.
I liked the boat ride, too. That was
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, the motorboats. I was actually the pilot for... Papa.
Yeah.
I was driving, just steering, and we actually went before Mama and Micah.
We went after Mama and Micah.
We ended up ahead of Mama and Micah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to pass people on that ride either. I think that's just...
It was a boat
where it was actually a loose boat, where it was a little motorboat, right, and we had to steer. But I guess because of just the way that Micah was bumping into the walls and stuff, we ended up passing you guys.
Yeah.
So it was funny. I was actually worried for a minute there. I thought we were going to get stuck trying to pull into the thing at the end. Because we were, like, right next to each other, and we were only, like, 10 feet from the exit, or whatever you want to call it.
Exit.
So it was interesting that we ended up passing you guys, and it was funny.
Yeah.
There's video of that, too, of us passing you guys.
Yeah. In consideration of the camping part of this... Did you enjoy the camp food that was made for you?
Sausages!
Yeah, before
and
we
pancakes.
Went camp. Yeah, and pancakes, you're right.
That's for our second day breakfast.
Yep, we had other stuff too. Do you remember what we had for lunch the second day?
I think it was, that was dinner.
Mm. Hot dogs for dinner, yes.
Hmm. We actually roasted them.
Yep, roasted hot dogs over the fire for dinner.
Hmm.
You had tortilla with cheese. That's
what
you had.
Yeah.
You had the quesadilla.
I had it too, just with ground beef.
Later when I had beef with the cheese.
It was basically a burrito.
Tofu with cheese.
Later had basically a burrito, but it was just in like a tortilla shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No rice.
Also no rice.
Yeah.
But it was really good.
Sorry, didn't make any rice.
And we had, what did we have? The pancakes were, now I'm trying to remember what we had for Thursday morning. I don't remember.
Thursday morning
we had sausages.
And eggs. The egg sandwiches.
No, that was Friday.
That was Friday.
For breakfast. Okay. But Thursday morning was pancakes.
The pancakes were Thursday then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Before.
You're right. So it was really neat.
And we also met friends that we have known for their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Yeah.
So we got to meet up with people we actually knew in person already.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't know they were going there, so...
Yeah, not until a couple days before, right?
It was a surprise.
Yeah. That was neat, though.
It was a good surprise.
They were actually, we went, their family was part of the people that we went 7 years ago.
Yeah,
they were with us when we went there originally back then, too.
So I was going to ask them for some advice for reminders about what they do at Knoebels, because I know they go there every year. And they said, oh, we're going there next week, too. And we're like, oh, that's so weird. Okay, because we know that they go, but I didn't know it was going to be the same time that we planned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they were there for a few more days than us.
Yeah.
They were right next to the Twister.
Yeah.
They were in the North Carolina. No.
Yeah, they were in North Carolina. So they have it separated by states, even though you're not from that state. So you just...
It's just what they named as the sections for the campground.
We were Arizona Avenue, they called it, and North Carolina Avenue.
That's where our friends...
Were they real far away from us in the campground?
Well, not really.
They're like a road away.
They were near the restrooms.
They were close.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were like not even a 5-minute walk from us.
And what did we do when we were with them?
We did some s'moring.
Some s'moring.
We roasted marshmallows.
Yeah.
Made s'mores, and the marshmallows we got were huge!
And we had some yummy fair trade chocolate with it.
Yeah. Papa burned his.
Mm-hmm.
I burned mine.
Yeah.
I love burning marshmallows.
Mm-hmm. Now I
want to know what the listeners, do you like burned marshmallows or the yellowed type, the brownish?
I like
golden,
the yellow.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like the yellow,
You like it golden?
Golden, I like roasted when it's, entirely.
When it's diced and burnt, it just stays in one place because it's all, like, hard.
A little bit.
But when it's gold, it, like...
It mushes more. Yeah. We also got the jumbo marshmallows. Next time I will get the jumbo.
They were a little bit tough
let's
to do.
Let's do the...
Yeah, they're a little big.
Let's do the big version, not the jumbo.
Yeah. Okay, next time.
Yeah, just
and then
big.
What else after them? S'mores, though, because you guys did something else after that.
We watched some Zootopia.
Yeah.
So...
I wanted to finish it. It was a little stunning.
The people that we met up with, they actually had one of them, their brother was there too. So they set up a projector with a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just watched some of Zootopia because they were tired and we were tired, so we left early.
Well, we watched most of it.
Yeah, you did see most of it.
Because there's like 20 minutes left of it.
Okay.
But yeah.
But we've seen that movie before, so.
Yeah, we can. It's on Netflix, so we can see it again.
Yeah. But we were there more for the camping experience, but that was a nice time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, both of our favorite rides, Mike and mine.
Oh, the together, your favorite ride.
Yes. Yeah. Was the teacups. I went on it 4 times.
Yeah.
I went on it 3.
Yeah, you went one less, because Leto went by himself first.
I got the quadruple.
I thought it was too loud, but then when I noticed that it's actually pretty exciting to Leto, I just wanted to go on it, so... Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's a rhythmatic ride. The way it works actually makes music.
Yep.
Safety.
That's what we made a pun about.
Yeah.
Actually, that was me.
Micah, what did you say after you went on the ride one time? There was something you said.
Mighty!
No, let him say.
Oh.
No, there was something else.
Oh.
Hmm.
Do you remember?
Safety.
No, no.
There was something else you said with that same kind of pun, though. No.
Hmm. I forget what you said.
That's okay. It was a cute pun about tea, though. So
it was something about how you were taking a bath in tea, or...
Oh, yeah, I had a tea bath.
A tea bath, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I drank some tea.
Yeah.
So then, there was one other ride that we all did together...
Yeah.
Right. And what did you guys think of it? What was it, and what did you guys think of it?
It was very exciting.
What's
What ride was it?
It was
the Scenic Skyway, I think.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
Mama freaked out.
Yeah. She thought she would get vertigo.
She got vertigo. That's the point.
Plus, she thought I would fall, but I was fine. I was holding on to the bar.
She was just really scared.
And I described what was... out there, and I said I saw orange, yellow, and green leaves, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I said that we are almost there. If I said anything about, like, heights, I wouldn't do that, because Ma would just freak out even more.
Yeah.
So I just didn't. But I said that the Twister, I can
hear it from there. Yeah, we have a video of this that will be up on YouTube. From Rob and Leto's perspective, you'll be able to see that.
Yeah.
Because Micah and I were not where the video camera was. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were behind us, though, so I kind of
I don't know if I'm going to see the video shoulder. Because I don't know if I want to see what I was like.
I didn't film the whole ride because I felt like bad. This. Because I didn't want to.
I held on real tight.
You're like this. You're like leaning back.
Yeah. I felt bad. I actually felt really, really bad. Once I saw the way that she was handling it, I felt really, really bad.
Well, at least we know that Mama doesn't want to go on.
But you guys had a lot of fun, and that's
good. But you guys
good.
Liked it, exactly.
I'm so glad, because we actually went over the road up in the sky where we went over the road.
That's why it's called the Scenic Skyway.
Were you scared going over the
no,
road?
Oh no! No! Neither of us no. were. You just freaked out too much. Man.
No, she freaked out because that's what she had a fear of. She had vertigo.
Did you enjoy being in front of the campfire?
Yes. It's nice and warm. Mm. Also,
we had a couple cold mornings, right?
There's nothing like some warm fire at a cold night.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, too.
It was cold at our friend's house. Well,
at their campsite.
It was colder over there. That's true.
Yeah.
It felt
probably because like it was closer to the water. Because they have a large pool and some water slides.
Plus,
and they were right next to that.
Plus, the twister, like, pushed some wind over.
That's true.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very loud. Right there.
So, do you guys think you would want to go camping again?
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes, but I wouldn't...
Virginia!
I hope we wouldn't go, like, that close to the twister.
Well, we wouldn't always necessarily camp at Knoebels. We may just go camping
somewhere else. We're going to see other places in the future.
Yeah.
I want to
but you
camp,
enjoy it.
I want to camp at Maine.
You want to camp in Maine? Okay. We'll do that.
Then maybe next time we go up to our friend's house up there, we can camp up there. Ooh. Or maybe some other time we can just go to Maine and camp.
We also went on the log flume, me and Mama.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun looking at it, but when we actually got on it,
yeah,
I was having second thoughts because at the beginning there's a little climb and then you just
but
moves
we were,
right down.
He was having second thoughts once we were already strapped in. Well, not strapped, but in.
Yeah, that's well, like Mama too.
But I held on to him.
At least you didn't.
And I told him I've got you.
At least you didn't go on the other one because
it's called the Skloosh.
So there's this big giant boat with a. And if you want, there can be a whole bunch of people. And if you go down, it, like, blows up with a bunch of water all over the place.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's, like, somebody that was, like, poured with water.
Skloosh!
Even though the person wasn't even on the skloosh.
Yeah, they were on the bridge where the big splash ends up splashing everybody on the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you to our special guests for joining us in this conversation.
Mm-hmm. You guys were asking to be on for a while, so now you got a chance.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
To see more of our actual adventures without just listening, to actually see, and even more, I have a YouTube channel, but we're switching it to be simply us, to correlate. If you want to see the videos, including the old videos, go to youtube.com/C/simply us.
Mm-hmm. I just thought it was neat to finally get them on because they've been asking for a while now to be on the podcast.
Yeah, they've been asking for several episodes. When can we be on the show?
Yeah.
So we thought this would be cute to have their perspective of how things went.
Mm-hmm.
Now to discuss our own camping experiences prior to this.
Yeah. So when I was younger, I don't even remember what years. We were talking about when we were on the way home from Knoebels yesterday. I was actually in Boy Scouts two different times, I'll say. I did spend a couple times going away to camp. Like, we went out camping a couple different times. I remember one time we went during the winter.
Where?
I know we went to Alamuchi, I think, two or three different times.
Where's
Alamuchi? We actually drove past it on the way home.
So it's in Pennsylvania?
No, it's in New Jersey, but it's near the border from what I remember. But I know
by the Delaware Water Gap?
Yeah, it's over by that. And I think I went there three different times. But I remember when I was younger, I would always get, like, homesick. So there was one time I actually went to a camp out in Pennsylvania, and it was supposed to be out there for a full week. And, like, a day or two of being out there, I started getting all kind of homesick. And I did the whole thing where I think we were actually, we spent the time in a cabin, but there was one or two nights we were supposed to go and tent, you know, camp out in the woods instead of being in the cabin. And I remember that when we were in the tent, pretty much once we set up the tent, I just climbed into my sleeping bag and kind of slept there most of the afternoon because I was just not feeling being out in the woods.
Oh, poor baby.
A little bit later on in the evening, I remember I did come out of the tent and everything, and I was more okay, but I don't know.
Did your mom pick you up, or did you stay there the
whole time? No, I stayed there the whole time.
Okay, but you just did a, you weren't too into anything?
Yeah. That's after the first, like, I think after the first day or two, I adjusted and I was all right. But I think just the initial shock of being that far away from home.
Was that your first time there for a week to camp for?
Yeah.
Okay. So you did weekends before then?
Yeah. We just did like 2-3 days at Alamuchi when we did it. There were a couple of other smaller things that I remember doing. Like the first time we went to Alamuchi was during the winter. So there's actually a lot of snow all over the place.
Mm.
So that was kind of rough. There was one time that we went when it was nice out. I don't know if it was during the summer or not, but we had a whole thing. We did like a waypoint or wayfinder thing with the compass where you have to go around to different points in the woods and find things. That was a lot of fun. I remember enjoying that a lot.
Geocaching or whatever it's called.
Yeah, exactly. But it was the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where we had to go out into the woods and we didn't have, you know, it was long enough ago, there were no GPS devices. We didn't have smartphones and everything. So we literally had a piece of paper with a set of coordinates.
This was the early 90s.
Step counts. Yeah. So we literally had to wayfind using a compass and a sheet of paper with a bunch of information on it.
Yeah.
And we had to go and find, you know, there were either tags on the trees or something like that. There was something we had to write down so that we, you know, where you couldn't cheat. So it was neat. It was fun, though. And I remember I enjoyed that a lot. We played Manhunt with a different Boy Scout troop that was from, I don't know, a different set of Boy Scouts. And they were down like through like a path that goes through the woods. And we ended up playing Manhunt between the two different sites.
Did anyone get lost?
I don't think so.
That's good.
I don't remember there being any emergencies where we had to find somebody.
So you guys, you mainly did cabins, but you had tents pitched here and there? Did you go hiking and pitch them? Like
a little bit. I think the week-long one, we did have to hike out into the woods, and we pitched out in the woods.
And how many people fit in each tent?
It depended on who brought what tent. I think the one that,
own.
Yeah, like different scouts had to bring their tents. Okay. And depending on who had the biggest tent, you know, we just said like, okay, our troop has this many people with these many tents, and what size tents are each of the scouts' tents. And I think the one I stayed in was either a 4 or 6 person. And my friend Justin was there with me at that one. So I think that's what made that week easier was having somebody that I did know, because as I've talked about in a previous episode, my anxiety is weird. And now that I'm as old as I am, and I understand that, that's exactly what happened to me that time. It was it was an anxiety attack, and I couldn't deal with it.
That's sad.
So.
Were there any skills that you picked up because you were at camp?
Oh, yeah. We had to do all kinds of things with, I mean, fire building, which failed me this weekend because it was horrible. I couldn't even get a fire going. But we also, I didn't dig around for the right size stuff to start the fire to begin with.
Yeah.
So
it's all right. Your woman took care of the fire the following day.
If I wasn't trying to cut corners, I would have been able to do it. But it's been a while since I've started the campfire from scratch. But there was that. There was, you know, the regular Boy Scout stuff with learning about how to use hatchets and knives and stuff like that.
Did you do like wood carving?
No, not really wood carving. It was just like
Basic survival things?
More or less. You know, knowing how...
Because, you know, I've never been a Boy Scout, so I don't know what they teach.
Obviously.
And my brothers weren't Boy Scouts, so...
I think I never stayed in Scouts long enough to learn a lot of the more advanced stuff. Most of any of what I did was the very basics, like safety. You know, talking about, you know, if somebody asks to use your knife, you make sure it's closed and you put your hand out and they take it and you have to wait for them to say thank you before you let go.
Yeah, I remember that.
That kind of stuff.
I was taught that with scissors.
Well, yeah, but it's the same thing. So I learned a lot of that kind of stuff. I never really advanced into it because, like I said, I only spent maybe 4 years in Boy Scouts in total.
So did you like camping back then? Would you say
I think that I did enjoy the camping, but my whole the anxiety thing that I had, mm-hmm. I think always kind of got in the way. But I've always liked being out in the woods. I mean, when I was living in Lake Hopatcong or Lake Rogerine, whatever, I would go with my friends and we'd go walking through the woods.
Right.
And we would literally go hiking for hours.
Things.
Yeah. So it's not that I ever disliked being in the woods and going for hikes and doing that stuff. I think I've always liked that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I think with the Boy Scout stuff, it wasn't my agenda.
Right.
Just in the sense of like when
creating your own version of things. Is that what you mean?
I guess. I like going in the woods and I like doing all that stuff, but to have to go with like the Boy Scout troop, mm-hmm. I think I didn't like having to work with their agenda.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, you go and you have to do this at this time and this at that time. So that's probably a big part of why I didn't enjoy it as much as I could have. But it's not that I didn't like the idea of going out and camping in the woods and making food over a campfire or a little Coleman propane stove.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed that stuff. Hence why these last 2 days, I keep trying to say the weekend, but it wasn't even the weekend. It was Thursday and Friday. It's Saturday now and we've been home since yesterday.
Yeah, we left Wednesday and we were there Thursday night, Friday night. No, Friday night.
Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday afternoon we came home.
Right.
I don't know. That's pretty much... I never went camping on my own, though. I never went... I mean, obviously, I couldn't with my dad, since he was in a wheelchair from a young age. Never went camping with my grandparents or anything.
Yeah. Now you get to go camping with us.
Exactly.
And that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
My own camping experiences began when I was, I think, 10. And I always wanted to go camping. And I blame the parent trap for putting that in me. And we never did any of that stuff. So once...
Which is kind of funny because of your dad being a vet, you would think that he'd kind of like that. But then again, maybe that would kind of trigger flashbacks if he had to hang out in a tent and stuff.
I don't know. I think he went camping with my brothers growing up. I don't really know. I've never really asked, but I think that they did because he used to build them forts in the backyard. But this was all before me.
Yeah.
Once I came, none of this stuff was around. So I missed all that fun years. They used to always say, you missed the fun years. So.
Well, the other thing too, I mean, this is a little bit of a side note, but your dad is also older enough that he may have a little bit of the stereotype of girls playing with dolls and
that
not
could be.
Wanting to camp.
That could be. But he knew that I was a tomboy because I was always getting muddy, bringing in the frogs and the bunnies and whatever. So he knew.
But that doesn't mean he knew how to deal with you being tomboyish.
I used to want to help him build things, you know, so all that stuff. So I really don't know. I wasn't into dolls and stuff.
Well, the other thing that
I asked him to make me a treehouse one time and he was like, you know, we used to have a treehouse, but... I don't even know what his response was.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, he was like, yeah, we used to have one, but I'm not going to make you one.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that's funny about it, too, though, is all of their friends go to their annual camping retreat, where they spend a few days at Stokes.
Is that still in New Jersey or Pennsylvania? That's right on the border.
That's on the border of New York, I think, actually.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, Stokes. We went one time when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really rainy, and all the kids were just in this giant tent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my only memory, and I had to be about 7 with that, maybe 8, I think 7. And it was just not a fun time. That's the only time I remember going there. By the time I was 10, the church that we went to, they had this group called Pioneer Girls. And it was to teach girls skills, kind of like Girl Scouts, but... more in line with
a religious leaning instead of just...
So they had where we had badges or whatever, but no one ever put anything on my badge for me, so I just collected, and I was so crazy about wanting to get all the badges while everyone else didn't care in the group, because it was just a small... There were only like 5 or 6 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so my church, they said that we were going to go for a camping weekend... in the Adirondack Mountains. So we went. It was just for 3 days. We went into a giant tent, like a big canvas green tent that was on a platform with stairs, about 3 stairs going up. You could fit 12 beds. They were mainly bunks. And that's where we stayed. They had it sectioned off. And at the time, I didn't really understand how the camping stuff worked because it was just a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it rained most of the time. And the last day, it was sunny. So we didn't really do a lot. But I loved the idea of being away from home and not having to... I don't know. I liked the idea of just walking around the woods and the meals and everything that... I started going there every year in the summer by myself, not knowing anyone. There was a girl that I met during the weekend that I kept in touch with for years, up until just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So for most of my life, I kept in touch with some of my camp friends.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there, I was in a tent called Hazelnut. That's what we call Hazelnut, because our camp counselor was from Great Britain and she had an accent.
Yeah.
And so she would say Hazelnut. And they had counselors from all over the world that would come in. And they gave them bird names. So we never knew what their real names were. But if you went there every year, you started to know what their names were. Because they were supposed to reveal them at the end of the week. To say, like, by the way, my real name is such and such. So I started to collect their names over the years. And then I would go and call them their name. They'd be like, shh. Because they were so used to seeing me. But I loved it. What I did this week when we went camping just now.
You mean these past 2 days?
The past 2 days when we went camping. I woke up at 5:30 mm-hmm. without an alarm.
Which is the time my alarm is normally set for.
Which is too. How I usually wake up anyway. And you know that I have an internal clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I woke up. I went out. I got ready. No one was around. I was able to... Back then, I would take showers in my bathing suit. And now I just don't like taking showers in public. I would probably still do it in my bathing suit because I don't like the idea that someone can be there that I don't know. It's just weird to me. But there are bathroom facilities at the place where we at Knoebels. And mm-hmm. there were bathroom facilities where I went camping. We didn't actually dig a hole to go to the bathroom in.
Right.
So I would go to the bathroom, wash my face, take a shower if I needed to. I would be all ready and done, and then I would just walk around the camp, and no one would know I was walking around. So this is what I'm saying now. When I went to... It was called Camp Careth. It's not called that anymore.
Yeah.
It's Camp Cedarbrook now.
That's it.
Yeah. It's an all-girl camp. This was the only place I could make friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the connections you make with people when you're camping. And there, I learned archery, riflery, canoeing, kayaking, sailing. I worked there 2 summers as a groom aid, where I would tack the horses, brush their hair, put fly spray on them, clean up their stalls, and help if I needed to guide the kids around on their horse before they would actually know how to trot to get them prepared for that. Like, I'd run, like, to teach them a trot, and then they'd be able to go on their own. So all that I learned at camp. I learned so many things at camp. I loved it.
That's good.
And I gained so many pen pals that I... You know what was bad? When computer technology became a huge thing, my pen pals stopped writing. And they would ask me for my screen name and my email address. I'd say, I don't have a computer. So it would come to be 99 and they're like, oh, let's give me your screen name so we could talk on AOL. And I'm like, I don't have a computer. Because I was a late computer person. Anyway, so I loved the camp songs and scraping our plates and all washing dishes. We all had to do a chore. But I became known as the plunger.
Mm-hmm.
Because when toilets got clogged, the counselors didn't want to unclog them. And everyone was whiny. And so I was like, guys, it's poop. We all do it. So I'd grab the plunger and I'd sit there and I'd say, there, took me 20 seconds to take care of your poop.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, oh, okay. So anytime there was a clogged toilet, they would send me across the camp to go fix it. And I was only like 13.
Hey. you know what you're good at, and they know what you were good at. So
yeah, and you know what? It's helped because Micah clogs the toilet all the time.
It is true.
So it was training at camp.
Mm-hmm. So then, in line with that, though, what kind of stuff, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but what do you think we did well with preparing for the last couple of days, and what maybe could we do differently? And did we learn anything while we were there?
Well, I will say there were things that, because of my camp experiences for so many years, and because I would spend like a whole month at camp,
mm-hmm.
I knew how to make a fire.
Mm-hmm.
But even though I wanted to let you have that glory, but they don't see you shaking your head.
I know, because I have nothing to say.
Well, anyway, so I, like, for instance, I love making tinfoil meals.
Mm-hmm.
Because I learned that at camp,
mm-hmm.
where we would make hamburger meals mixed with potatoes and corn, and I instead put tofu, and I put that in the fire. But we had, so I liked the fact that this time we had, what do you call that?
The grate.
The grate to put over the fire so I could do that instead of actually sticking it in the fire and having to, because I don't know, I use my hands to pull it out of the fire.
Yeah, that's in the not past, a very good idea.
Which I always did at camp too. I just would grab it real quick, like a hot potato, because I would just ball it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it helped to know the campground too. We knew there weren't going to be sticks around, so we had to get skewers.
Yeah.
So I think that helped because I was used to going to find a stick.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying even in general though, like we planned out
The meals
we planned out well, I think.
Yeah, well, I wrote out, I explained with Rob when we were planning, I was like, this is what we're going to eat, this meal. I went through each meal, and so then I would buy exactly what I needed for those meals. Mm-hmm. And I think that was spot on. We did mm-hmm. great with that.
Yep. I think we packed clothing and stuff accordingly.
Yes.
I think we did a good job with that.
Yeah, because I actually prepared for hot days and for cold days.
Mm-hmm.
So for the boys, I would pack a pair of jeans for each of them and a pair of shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And
made sure they brought their sweatshirts and stuff.
Sleeveless shirts for hotter days and ones that have short sleeves, and I would bring their sweatshirts.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, socks or sneakers and sandals. So I made sure there were options because even though we're minimalist and only want what we need or whatever, like...
But we still have what we need.
Right.
That's the point. It's about planning. But, you know, it's not just about getting rid of stuff.
I didn't pack extras.
Right.
It was just like, if the weather's like this, they need something. If the weather's like this, they need such and such.
Yeah. Well, along the same lines, what I didn't think about until we were on our way home was that we didn't plan for rain at all.
Yeah.
We kind of missed on that. So, for instance, when we were planning on packing, we were looking at, we don't have a tarp. And mm-hmm. we were thinking about, well, I should say that you were thinking that we should get a tarp to put under the tent.
Yeah.
And we made the point that, well, the bottom of the tent is a tarp anyway, so we don't need it. And I didn't think about having a tarp that goes out underneath the tent.
Which
so
I had already, to put our shoes and I had stuff. Wanted to get a tarp previously and showed you that I was ready to buy a tarp because we didn't have one. And I was like, we need a tarp. But you were kind of like, eh. So I said, all right, no tarp.
Well,
I didn't think about that. Now we know for next time, yes, we're going to get a tarp.
Well, we have two different tents as well. We have an old tent that we got when we got married. We've used it twice, I think.
No, we used it a few more times than that.
Okay. But we have that tent, and we know it's always a pain to set up. It's this really nice Eddie Bauer tent, and we couldn't remember if it was a two- or four-person tent.
It's a two-person still. It's just a bigger two-person
tent. Maybe. So we went... And we got another tent. We got a four-person tent. And fortunately, this new tent is a lot easier to set up.
A lot easier.
So that was one thing that was really cool when we got there Wednesday night. Because it was really dark and everything. And we didn't bring a lantern. So we actually had to walk around using our flashlights to be able to see. That's one thing that we kind of missed out. We skipped. We didn't think of when we packed. So it was nice and easy to set up the tent and get ready when we got there Wednesday night. But as I said, we didn't really plan for rain, and I didn't think about it until we were coming home, mm-hmm. that we didn't have a tarp or anything that was set up to hang out under if it rained.
Yeah.
So they we would have had either stay in the tent or in the car or go down to the actual park, and we would have had to hang out in there.
They have picnic tables for each campsite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I mean by if we had thought about it and planned better, I would have made sure that we had at least two tarps, one to go under the tent so that we could have somewhere to put our shoes down and walk on without traipsing right. through
and
the dirt.
And tarps to put around the table and over yeah. so that way we could eat.
Yeah, so we could be covered.
Yeah.
yeah. Because I was looking at some of the sites when we were there, and I was thinking, like, oh, that's neat to block the shade, but that's kind of silly because there's a decent amount of tree yeah. coverage.
There were so many people there with different setups, so that kind of inspired us of what to prepare for next time mm-hmm. to see, oh, these people have been coming here every year.
Yeah.
Like, the people that we saw there that we know, they have changed their setup over the years, and it's yep. because they've learned what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing that and then all the other people and how they have it set up, it's just like, oh, that's actually really smart where they have all the pretty Chinese lanterns all around mm-hmm. or just
some people had
lights.
Like string lights wrapped around a tree
yeah.
on their site.
Just for extra lighting.
Just for ambient light. Whereas I mentioned earlier today or something as well that I used to have a Coleman propane lantern.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I did have when I was in Boy Scouts. And it's a nice big, like, flood lantern. Mm-hmm. It lights up a decent amount of the campsite. So we had something like that for Wednesday night when we set up. It would have mm-hmm. made it a lot easier instead of having to walk around with the flashlights trying to shine, you know, where the stakes were for the tent.
Yeah.
But for next time, you know.
I think also it was great that we have our Coleman stove.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Yeah, that's one thing I never had, but I never needed it when I was in camping because, like I said, I was only there for a couple of years, and I was always surrounded by other people who did have that stuff.
Right.
But it was awesome to have that little two-burner stove
right.
when you were doing, like, the eggs and the sausage. It was nice to be able to cook both of them at the same time instead of trying to trade off on a one-burner.
Yeah. One thing we learned, though, is when I cooked the first meal or first two meals?
First two, I think.
First two meals, yeah. It was the first meal.
Mm-hmm.
And the pan was sliding down.
Yeah.
And so then the following meal, I cooked on the ground
right.
with the stove. And then we explained it to our friends, and they said, put rocks under the stove to level it mm-hmm. out. And I was like, oh, man, why didn't I think of that? It's just so simple.
Yeah.
So then I did that, and it helped so much more.
And that's even another thing that they mentioned, too, is that there are one of the things that they've learned about with all the time they've spent camping there was that there are people that will bring a level and a whole bunch of small wood pieces where they
right.
would check the level on the tables when they got there so they could make sure it was level.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's one of the things that I think is cool that we learned, aside from having plenty of tarps to, you know, cover the site.
Yeah.
Just to be prepared that, you know, we don't know what we're going to go up
right.
against. And while we don't necessarily have to, you know, pack the car so tightly that any possible situation will be resolved, you know, there's some kind of basic things that we've picked up on. That we've learned from.
I also think it was good. We got those, what are they called? The what are they?
I was going to say thermal take, but that's like a car thing.
Well, basically the mats that go underneath your sleeping bag mm-hmm. that produce some.
There's a little bit of cushion.
Yeah.
And the way that they're formed, they hold heat a little bit, so it helps you to be a little warmer.
Yeah.
Or cooler even.
So we had one for each of us to go underneath
mm-hmm.
us.
The one thing, speaking on that, when I was younger in Boy Scouts and all that, when I would do the camping, I had one of these, and it's the roll-up style. And when we were talking about them before we left and we were looking to purchase them, there were newer ones where they fold instead
mm-hmm.
of rolling up. And at first I was thinking, that's kind of silly. Like, why would you want that? Like, we'll just get the roll-up ones like we used to have. But when it came to actually being at the site, and we were unrolling them, and I was trying to get them lay flat, I said, wow, now I get why the folding ones would be so much easier, because
yeah.
when you unfold them, they'll just lay
it
flat.
It still worked out. You were able to straighten
yeah.
it out. Yeah.
I just, looking back at it, I think that now it makes more sense to get the folding ones.
Yeah.
Because I think that they're easier to pack up, and they'll be easier to lay out when
you know,
the time comes.
The boys were very comfortable.
Yeah. Well, like they said,
they
had a great time
sleeping. Yeah.
So that's awesome.
So that's what definitely is a need for if you go camping.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only problem is that it takes up a lot of space in the car to have four
mm-hmm.
sleeping bags and the four rolls.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wish that we wouldn't have to have so much. But I will say, like, my clothes and the boys' clothes all fit in one suitcase.
Yeah. And pretty much everything that I brought fit into my one backpack.
Yeah. Granted, this was only two nights, but
yeah.
But
well,
still, That's the other thing. To have three people stuff in one suitcase. And it wasn't overflowing either. Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing, too, which I was even thinking about on the way home, was that if we did something that was a longer trip, or even just if we wanted to pack the car differently. For instance, I couldn't see out the back window. So I had to trust the mirrors and stuff and just knowing the size of the Jeep to know where I was going. Mm-hmm. But we do have roof racks for the car. So what we could get is just one of those carriers where we could put, you know, like the tent and the sleeping bags and stuff to put on the top.
Definitely something we should look into.
Yeah, that's one thing that I think definitely would be a big help.
Because the reality is, I've been wanting to camp every single year since we got married. Mm-hmm. It was the reason why we got our tent, because I put it on my...
that was on the
our bridal registry. For my bridal shower, I had that on the wish list because I you know, I've been obsessed with camping since going every single year. And Rob was not really... You didn't seem that interested back then.
Well, I think because I hadn't done it as much as you. Yeah. Like I said earlier, I enjoy being out in the woods and doing that stuff. Right. And if I had thought about that aspect of it and not the kind of... I don't know. I guess because of my experience with doing it with the Boy Scouts instead of just camping... Mm-hmm. Maybe my mindset wasn't right about it. Yeah. Or just the fact that I had spent so long... Before I met you, it was so long ago that I had done the camping. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the period in between then, I spent a lot of time, you know, playing with computers and doing video games and stuff like that. Doing a lot of stuff inside.
Right.
That well, I lost I
was,
the...
I was so used to wanting to live outside because of camping. I think this is where part of my minimalism started. Mm-hmm. Because I could go a whole month... out of one suitcase, and it didn't bother me.
Well, this is the funny part is that a lot of what I think kind of helped to trigger me really getting into the whole minimalism, simple living stuff was that I did start watching other YouTube things and looking at pictures online of people like living out of a van and traveling and camping and stuff. And it kind of reignited the fact that I do like being out in the woods and I like going out and doing things. Mm-hmm. And I think that reminded me of it. And the way that some people talk in their videos about, you know, just having the necessities. Like, what would you need to live... If you had to get stuck in the woods for 3 weeks or a month, what would you need? What would you absolutely need to live there? And I started thinking about that, like, being a survivalist. Not that I'm trying to be a prepper or anything. But just the idea of what is really necessary.
Yeah.
And so I think thinking about that again and being reminded of my love for being in the woods, that it did kind of play into... my acceptance and really doing more practicing of simple living or minimalism because I remembered that and I did enjoy it when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I think I just kind of missed out on growing up with that passion.
Right.
For whatever and reason.
I will say I went camping in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania with my godparents a couple times and they had a trailer and I loved that, too. Mm-hmm. That's where, like, I started doing the campfires. But we were only there for one night every time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I had so much fun. And that's honestly probably how that all started for me. So it was that place, Camp Careth. And I went to another camp that was a boy-girl camp as well. But I didn't enjoy that one that much because there you have all the boys and the girls trying to get their attention. And I didn't care about that. I just wanted to enjoy the experience. And they were so busy. Like, really, that's all they cared about. And this was a Christian camp, too. And I went with the church two times I went. And I just did not enjoy being there, really.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I did some funny pranks and... I'm a prankster or a weirdo when it comes to, like, camp stuff. And I don't do that with my kids and or with you. But when I was with a group of strangers, especially, I was not that fun to be around. Oh, I was fun to be around, too. I think, you know what?
It's up to how people take pranks.
Right, because if you do stuff like that in school, people are like, oh, like... you're so weird, and, oh, there she is, that strange girl. But when you're at camp, they go like, oh, that's hilarious. And so now, one of the girls I went to camp with every single year, she's now a camp counselor there, and she actually is in charge of the horses. We work together as well. And she told me that she tells stories about me to her campers.
Mm.
And that they crack up. So I love that. Something that dumb funny. That I did as a kid. Like, okay, I guess I could share a quick story.
Yeah.
I did get in trouble one time with my extremely long-term camping friend was Lori. This was not the one that's a counselor. But Lori and I, we got in trouble because one time we were both in our bathing suits taking a shower together. And we got Herbal Essences shampoo that I brought. I got like a big one to last me for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we were washing ourselves. And back then you had the Herbal Essences commercials where you go, yes! Oh, yes! And we didn't know that it had to deal with sexual stuff.
Yeah.
At all. Like, we didn't know. So we're doing this in the bathroom, and some little girl thought, you know, we had the curtain closed, too. Some little girl thought we were doing something else. So they reported us.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to go to the office, and they sat us down, and they said, do you know why you're here? We're like, no, what did we do? And they're like, you were in the shower together. And I was like, with her bathing suits on. And they're like, but you were making noises. I was like, yeah, we were doing the herbal essences
commercial.
And we told them that, and they're like, oh! Like, it dawned on them, like, oh! They're innocent! They didn't do anything!
Mm-hmm.
So then they said, okay, well, please don't do that anymore. Just be in separate showers from now on. And I said, well, the other showers were cramped. There were people waiting in line, and she was in line too, so I just figured, hey, we're both in our bathing suits. Let's just go. And it would save time.
Mm-hmm.
And we took quick showers. So we each just washed our hair and our bodies with our loofahs.
Yeah.
We weren't touching each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it. I'd love to tell more of my camp stories because I've got some really good ones that I can't even share right now because we're cutting it close on our time. But we do want to explain that we've listened to our listener, Nicholas, who had previously asked us a couple questions. He has a podcast with his wife, and they're called the Handy Dandy Duo.
Yep.
And they gave us a shout out, and we have been listening, and it's good.
Yeah, we want to return the favor because it's fun, and it's cool to see a community of podcasters, even if we're not necessarily talking about the same topics, which, you know, they may overlap a little bit. We've already made the point that with our episode of crypto, kind of overlaps in the technology part that they're talking about. They talk about raising a kid, and we obviously have kids that we're raising. So even if we're not necessarily the same thing, we overlap, and it's just nice to hear more independent media people, as I talked about previously.
Yeah, so please give them a listen, too. Don't forget to go to our website and leave a comment at simply-us.net.
Mm-hmm.
Also, leave a review on our podcast because we have not received any new ones since ages ago.
Yep, we're on iTunes and Google Play.
And share us with your friends. And don't forget to go join the community on Facebook for Simply Us Podcast, I think is the URL on
Facebook. Yeah, I think it's facebook.com/simplyuspodcast.
Yeah.
And then, as we said, the YouTube channel will start putting some more stuff on that.
Lots of fun stuff.
So it'll be fun. So, yeah, of course.
Tell us your camping experiences. Yeah. Tell us your funny stories. And I'd love to hear them.
Yeah. Give us any ideas, any thoughts, any kind of special thing you do when you camp that maybe is a little out of the ordinary that we could see about.
And if you want to hear my biggest prank that I did at camp sometime, let me know and maybe I'll share it.
Yeah, if there's enough requests for more of your stories, then yes, we will do more than that. All right. Well,
goodbye.
That pretty much wraps up today, so have fun.